Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlow. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. We have Coach Kelly today instead of the normal role that you play in providing beautiful input, understanding, and guidance for people. We're just putting a little bit of a different hat on you today because you still provide all of those things. But today we're going to have everybody really meet you and learn about you and what you offer for them that benefits them in terms of coaching.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. It's interesting that you word it that way because I think that is exactly what I do on the podcast. You tell these beautiful stories of loved ones who channel very important messages to hopefully change our lives as humans. And the feedback that I get from the podcast is Kelly will pull out the very, you know, succinct message, say it in a way that really helps me understand how it applies to my own life. Because the beauty of Coffee with the Sarlows is we want people to find themselves in the stories.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the concepts that get illustrated, they don't necessarily, as listeners, know how to directly apply it to their own life.
Mm-hmm.
So I very much appreciate that people see my role as a coach in the storytelling to help them specifically as an individual know how to apply it to their own life. So I think that's really beautiful. But yeah, let's wear the hat you're saying of Coach Kelly today. I want to talk about coaching in general to help people understand what it is, what it isn't, and how they can benefit from it. So first, let's start with what people think it is. I think, you know, that's maybe a myth-busting place that we can start. For many people, I think they understand coaching to be where someone's going to tell them what to do and how to fix their life, where it's going to be very directive, do as I say and you should be happy. And, you know, I think that speaks volumes of the hope that they have or the faith that they have if they are reaching out to find a coach, whether it's me or someone else, and this desire for change for ourselves. But it isn't just a, if you do this, then you will experience, you know, the happiness or the change that you're hoping for in your life. So it's not directive. It's not, you know, I told you to do X, therefore life is good. Coaching is much more of helpful perspective about what we are experiencing in our own lives to help us better understand what we're going through. It's an opportunity to see our own patterns, right? To gain awareness and understanding about what those patterns are so that we can start to pattern interrupt them if they are not healthy things, right? Not getting us to where we want to go. And that can be in a physical way of our goals, but it can also be in an emotional capacity as well. If we're not feeling about our lives the way that we hope we want to feel.
Okay, that's good. I'm engaged.
I think one of the best ways that I can talk about coaching is that it gives us a process for our lives. And we talk often about, you know, in the stories themselves through Sips of Sanity on Patreon, that most of us are lacking healthy processes, right? We rush things in our heads. We rush things with our emotions. We're quick to act before we either think or feel things through, right? So it's those three sort of centers, thinking, feeling, and behaving, that if they're out of order or rushed in any way, we tend to not like how we are reacting to life.
That is so good, Kelly. My head just stops right there and wants to go down that as a content tube. And I realize you've got other things to say.
Well, take me down it.
Oh, my God. Well, just as some, like, I would just say as somebody who grew up as a people pleaser and still struggles with it, by the way, that I'm very aware, as you know, that I lack those processes. So when you say that, those three areas, it helps me then. I want to memorize that because I want to be able to go forth in other parts of my life and conversations with people and go, oh, wait a minute, I got to check those three things off.
Mm-hmm.
Just listening to you just say that today is helpful for me. Mm-hmm. And I want to bring that up because I know there are lots of people that are listening that were raised to people please and might be sitting here going, oh, I'm better than Karen. I'm a reformed people pleaser. I don't people please anymore. And I would just say to most people, no, you're still a people pleaser. We all are till we die. And we just go up and down with, depending on how stressed we are, what's going on our health or what's going on in our lives. So to hear you say that is so, it's so helpful. Just that little nugget right there to say those things.
Good. Okay. And that is actually what happens in a lot of life coaching sessions, right? Is that I get the opportunity, I'll say, to rephrase what we're experiencing or spell out for people what we're experiencing in our thoughts, our feelings, or our actions so that they can better understand what they're doing, right? And then there's this opportunity on their part, the client's part, to sit there and go, okay, I see where I want to do things or need to do things differently. So that sort of leads into who is this for, right? Who does it help? And I think depending on the type of life coach that you're looking for, they're going to have different niches. For myself, you know, as a branch of everything that you and I do together, I very much focus on emotional intelligence, healthy communication, and critical thinking, right? To be able to give those types of processes back or potentially for the first time to people so that they can slow down, right? And live very intentionally, very mindfully.
Oh my God. Am I allowed to interrupt you?
Please.
Oh, ding, 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 ding. Oh, for the people that are thinking that sitting and meditating or thinking that if they go to a mindfulness course and sit there to find no thing in some of these transcendental meditation practices and stuff, and then they hear you talking about this, where they're actually missing process, and instead they're being taught, no, you don't need any processes, go sit and find no thing, go sit and find your peace. And it's like, oh my God, going to find no thing or white light or no thoughts is the exact opposite of what you're talking about that gets you to your peace. Mm-hmm. Your peace comes when you actually have processes and you actually hold yourself or learn to hold yourself accountable to them. Mm-hmm. And then they become more and more automatic for yourself. Peace yes. comes with the process and the repetition of it.
Yeah, actually, and that brings me to a really cool analogy that I love to use, because as a lot of people do know, and I know you do, like I also am the mindset coach for a health and fitness company. And so I deal with people's obstacles within their mind, right? Mm-hmm. The ways that we hold ourselves back. And you're comparing the processes for thinking and feeling to movement and weightlifting, mm-hmm. right? Building a muscle, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so the same way that we would talk about building a bicep muscle, where you have to perform certain exercises that become a routine, you have to put in so many reps to actually see the progress, the results that you want to see. That is what we're doing in life coaching with things like active listening skills, mm-hmm. asking healthy questions, noticing our thoughts, pattern interrupting what we say to people, and doing things differently. We're building a different type of muscle, something very internal, right? So that we can regulate ourselves and enjoy life instead of being reactive to life.
I got stuck when you were speaking, when you said pattern interrupting what we're thinking and what we're saying to people. And I hope that the people listening today that didn't hear you say that really hear that now. Coaching helps you pattern interrupt what you're thinking, feeling, doing, and saying. Mm-hmm. And some people don't realize that's actually what some of their blocks are and or what they're struggling with. Mm-hmm. Or your partner knows it. Your parent knows it, your coworker, your boss knows it, and they're trying to point it out to you, but it's your own responsibility to learn that, mm-hmm. or you can't make the correction, so you just go round and round in your cycles. Mm-hmm. And in the frustration, because people are pointing it out to you, and so you're becoming aware of it, but you're not getting what you can offer in the coaching to actually work through it to change it.
Yeah. So back to, because I kind of started saying like, you know, who is it for? Coaches have different niches. So mine is the emotional intelligence, critical thinking, and healthy communication. So when we say who is it for with Kelly, let's say, I would talk about people who feel stuck. And I know that's very general, but I do have to use words that people will resonate with, mm-hmm. right? I can also say people who feel like they are very high functioning. Right? Very much doers or overdoers. And I would also say people pleasers. Now, interestingly enough, if we actually look at all three of those categories, They all boil down to the same thing. But we don't necessarily know that because we're not yet understanding what our patterns are, right? People who are people pleasers are in effect stuck in a high functioning mode. So I've just touched on all three, right? Individuals who think they are high functioning and think, well, I like doing all these things, are very much stuck in people pleasing patterns. And those who identify with an abstract concept of just being stuck in life, can't really pinpoint what it is, are probably high functioning and prioritizing other people, right? So depending on how you listen and identify with these three things, we're talking about a lot of the same stuff. And life coaching is meant to pattern interrupt all of these things. So I want to go back to something that you mentioned earlier. We're talking about like all the things that we can do to help ourselves, the changes that we can make within ourselves. And what I want to point out that you did so brilliantly is focus on what we can control, and that is us. None of the changes are about controlling other people, right? Because we can't ultimately do that. And it brings to mind one specific client, just because I had been working with her for years. I'm going to call her Amanda, just for the sake of privacy, obviously. She had originally come because she was so stressed out, feeling stuck in her career, also just feeling, I'll say emotionally stuck in her marriage. She knew she had a good partner, but knew that she was constantly irritated by him, knew that there was support there on his end, but was annoyed with herself, really, which is kind of interesting to talk about. And then raising two young kids, where she felt constantly triggered, constantly annoyed and reactive in her home environment. So you think about the totality of a day. You wake up with this family that you're like, I don't know how to feel calm and regulated. Then I go to work to this job that I do not enjoy. And then I come home to that same family unit that we just talked about not enjoying. And that's Monday through Sunday. Right? So she came in thinking initially, okay, I need to figure out how to change my husband. I need to figure out how to change how my kids behave in the house, and then I'll be happy. I need to figure out how to change, you know, the job itself, and then hopefully I'll be happy. So it was all of these external things that she wanted to fix, right? And therefore, of course, her stress is going through the roof because we can't change any of those things. Life coaching offers this process of, okay, what is upsetting about these things? Why do we feel triggered by it? What are the emotions that we're experiencing when these things happen or when these people are around me? And if I understand my own triggers or my own expectations, right, that I'm not necessarily giving thought to, but just reacting to life when these expectations aren't being met, I can start to understand why I feel irritated. And if I now know it's not my husband's fault, my kids don't know anything about it, I can understand roles and responsibilities, right, of all the people in the household. I could actually understand that I have more control over situations, more control over my own emotions as well. That allows me to show up a lot differently in the way that I speak to my kids. So now I'm not screaming at them to stop yelling and stop causing noise that I feel is upsetting. I can actually talk to them about what we want tonight to look like, what mom expects, you know, in the household calmly and inclusively with this family, instead of coming down hard with an I said so and this is how things are going to be. That changes the entire feel of being in your own home.
Or walking away, just to offer another option that is common, is to find distractions, to head to the basement and to the game, or to the TV, or to the technology, or out of the house altogether, to see the friends, or to see somebody else, or to stay late at work. We could go on giving you all of the reasons, or all of the ways we can avoid and be avoidant.
Yeah, and okay, I like that you mentioned this, because we have these extreme ends of reactions, right? We can blow up and be physically present, but lashing out because of the things that are upsetting us. Or like you said, we can walk away. So I can walk out of the room, walk out of a conversation because I can't deal with it. I'm flooded with my emotions. And neither one are healthy, right? And so some people think I'm doing great because I'm not exploding.
or I'm doing great because I didn't leave the house. I'm the parent that stays home every night and all weekend, but I'm not engaged.
Yes, you're getting to two different kind of illustrations here. What I wanted to say, though, is the leaving isn't necessarily better. The quiet isn't necessarily better because we're creating a lot of anxieties because the people in the home are sensing, oh, mom's checked out.
Yes.
Oh, Amanda left, right? I don't know when she's emotionally coming back or physically coming back. And so we create a tornado of anxiety when we are not getting healthier tools for ourselves and for the people that we love in our lives. And don't get me wrong, if you're still with me listening to this podcast, this is not here are some tools so that you can be better for others. Mm-hmm. This is always first and foremost, how can we get tools to be healthier, happier versions of ourselves so that you can enjoy your own life? The byproduct is the people that you love and that are around you get to experience that and be a part of it too. Mm-hmm. And start contributing more to that happiness. But we do that first for ourselves. So I come back to Amanda with this example where over time, because this does take time, it's not just a here's three simple tools and life is going to be different next week. She was learning how to slow things down. So that's where process comes in, right? To be present in really actually listening, hearing what was going on instead of making big assumptions and reacting to them. She was able to show up differently in conversations with the people in her home, right? To actually bring down the level of anxiety for herself and others. That's huge. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize the amount of anxiety that they're living with moment to moment because it's just what they're functioning on, right? Back to that stuck, high functioning and people pleasing. She was able to actually create really healthy questions and check-ins for her family where her kids, who were young as about 7 when we started working together, they started asking these questions back to her, right? So where she was checking in with herself being like, okay, do I have the time, the energy, and the desire to do these things right now? Her 7-year-old would ask her, Mom, do you want to go for a walk tonight? Do you have the time to do that? Do you have the energy to do that? So she was handing her tools age appropriately to the people in the household so that they could be on the same team together. Mm-hmm. That changes everything.
Oh, yeah. Common language is imperative.
Yeah. And I illustrate that point because many people, specifically women, come to work with me feeling so isolated, right? When you talk about stuck, high functioning and people pleasing, typically they're all on their own doing these things, thinking, you know, I call it Tigger syndrome from Winnie the Pooh. I'm the only one, right? Mm-hmm. They isolate. And so when we understand that these tools, yes, they are first and foremost for us to use with ourselves, but our family and friends can learn this language and can be a part of it to help me check in with myself, there's a we that starts to happen. There's a collaboration that opens up instead of this isolation of I have to fix everything. I have to keep everything functioning. So then we look at the benefits. Like we come with this feeling of struggle, of isolation, of is this it for my life, right? And trying to really battle internally, like, is this the happiest I'm going to be? Is this the best it's going to get? And trying to sort of lower the bar and settle for that being called happiness. Mm. Life coaching is saying, no, we're going to raise that bar and show you how you can live into that level of actual happiness instead of settling. And we do that as well by understanding what we value. A lot of people get stuck in these patterns, these unhealthy patterns, because we have not given a lot of thought to what we even value at our core. So speaking about process again, we look at different areas of our lives, such as relationships, career as well, to say what really is most important to me. What types of things need to be present in my relationships or my work for me to actually be happy? And that might panic people when they listen to this, where they're mm-hmm. like, well, what do you mean? What would even go on that list? I've got worksheets for that, right? We sit down and brainstorm together the types of things that matter. When we look at relationships, for example, we think about things like respect, healthy communication, quality time, right? A lot of people have never even thought about those three things specifically being an important thing to prioritize in their relationship. And so when we look at or start to finally put together a list of what do I value, all of a sudden, those people who identify as abstractly stuck now understand why I'm not happy. There's like this illumination of, oh, I get it. I understand why I feel sad or I feel depressed or I feel anxious all the time. When we start to be able to pinpoint why we're not happy, immediately we have direction of where do I need to head then.
Exactly.
Stuck is not a fun feeling. We can kind of equate it with lost, right? Which direction do I turn in? We're kind of going in circles, not really knowing, well, which one do I commit to? If we understand why we're not happy, meaning our core values are not being met, now I know what I need to action in order to start letting them be met or getting them. So very similar to our conversations, every time we sit down and do a coffees episode, we talk about clarity, we talk about relief, we talk about direction. Same thing in coaching. Your messages aren't coming from the other side like they do in channeling, but you are getting those three things as a benefit. Now, in my coaching practice, I do say insight, tools, and accountability, which is my promise to my clients, but you also benefit with clarity, relief, and direction as well. And so the built-in accountability that you have with coaching is, okay, we now understand what's going on in your life. Here's the homework that you're going to do before we sit down in our next session together. You're going to be held accountable to actioning things instead of just talking about it or thinking about it. And don't get me wrong, the podcast is beautiful to start shifting the way that people think. That's a really important first step sometimes. But if we do not challenge ourselves to implement or take action, nothing changes.
Mm-hmm.
And that, if we're not actioning, that keeps us in anxiety, right?
Oh, that's a great, great comment, Kelly. For anybody listening, that if you're not taking an action, then your anxiety will persist.
Mm-hmm. And so when we sit down in those coaching sessions, your actions are your homework. And the accountability of when we sit back down in the next session, hey, how did homework go? Talk to me about it. Let's debrief. Let's celebrate what went well. Let's troubleshoot. You know, I like to say if shit hit the fan. And we tweak those tools so that people feel really empowered. And essentially, you collect a toolkit. So your coaching sessions happen over a set series of sessions so that you can keep collecting these tools that you can use throughout your entire life.
That's awesome.
I know the accountability piece is scary, and I've heard so many people sit down on discovery calls with me being like, I'm afraid of you. They listen to the show, they listen to the way that I pull things out and just very directly call things what they are. And that is a big element of coaching, don't get me wrong. But there's also the ability to sit one-on-one with someone and I'll say put the pedal to the metal with like directness, or to soften that and really be with someone in their struggle to validate what they're experiencing, to explain gently what's happening to them and invite them to small changes they're willing to make. So I think some people think that if I'm going to go into coaching, I've got to do an overhaul of my life. If I'm being honest, it will overhaul your life in the end. In all the healthy ways that you need it, but we take small actions at a time so that you can get comfortable with the changes that you're making all along the way.
Mm, that's good to hear, because I can imagine that some people listening to this are the ones that are just gangbusters and want the full change and they want it by Friday. And then other people are like, no, I can't fathom this. There's too much on my plate. I'm overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I've got too much going on in my life. Maybe I'll try coaching in 6 months. And they want to procrastinate it instead of realizing, well, wait, no, if I actually get in it right away and I make one small change even in just that first week, that could be enough to release my stress, that could be enough for me to feel more connected to myself or to another person, mm-hmm. and get the benefit right away and then be encouraged and go, as we all do in life, oh, I got that under my belt. Okay, I'm ready for the next piece.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, and actually it's interesting you talk about them as two different types of people. And again, I really see them very much the same. The type of person who wants the overhaul by Friday but doesn't start is typically experiencing the same block as the person who wants to prolong it and say, you know what, when things calm down, which is probably when you don't need a life coach, right? I'll start in 6 months. It's the same type of anxiety that's being created, right? Because the person who thinks they want the overhaul but doesn't seek out the support is afraid of the overhaul, the same way the person who wants to say, nah, maybe in 6 months. So our all or nothing mentality in both of those types of scenarios gets in our way of making change, period. Life coaching gives you the process. So both of those people got ahead of themselves, made big assumptions about what it meant for them, what would be required of them, instead of allowing someone to say, no, we're going to break this down into a process so you don't lose your mind. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want your mind back.
Yes.
Or for some of us, we need a new mind because we didn't get those processes to begin with.
Yes.
And we search. You might turn on your TV or try and find it someplace in a movie or something, but no one's giving it to us in society. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to find the right person to seek that out from.
Yeah.
And not just a random freaking girlfriend who just did it her own way, but it doesn't work for us.
Yep, that's a different great point.
Or a random girlfriend that maybe she does have the right little tool to share with us, but we don't let her hold us accountable. We shoot the messenger.
Yes.
And that's why the coach is important, because when you go to shoot the messenger, the coach, you, is going to sit there knowing exactly what they're doing and be able to confront them in a healthy way about it, mm-hmm. to get you out of wanting to shoot the messenger.
Yeah, and with enough training to point out, you don't have to go into your shame.
Right.
Right? I'm going to be there to help you regulate your mm-hmm. own feelings of when you are called out, because those are important things for our growth. We can't grow if we're not willing to see ourselves clearly. I also want to hammer home the point, too, that for a lot of people, again, women in particular, we want change, but we are not used to being supported. We're not used to being able to ask for it, or we've asked for it enough times to know we're not going to get it. That's many of our stories. And coaching is an opportunity to have undying support for the changes you want to see in your life, for your health, for validating your emotions, for giving you that process. I'm repeating myself on purpose, because in your anxiety, you might have checked out already. If you're listening to this and thinking, support, oh my God, someone's going to listen to me, someone's going to make eye contact with me, someone's going to follow up with me, right? Those are scary things, because also that process has been taken away from you in life, or robbed from you, however you want to say it. So a coach sits in front of you to really and truly hold your hand, not in a condescending way, to hold your hand while you do some scary things. You make some scary changes. And that involves looking at ourselves, right? And reevaluating, how do I want to show up in this world? I think for many people, they do have an idea of who they want to be. They just don't know how to get there. And for some of us, we've stopped dreaming about that person. And so a coach can bring out some of those long lost hopes or dreams for ourselves, and then map out a way to become that person.
That's lovely.
Okay, so that's what I had planned for today's show, was to, I'll say, bridge some gaps between what life coaching is and isn't, but also how can you benefit, you know, after something like channeling, to figure out, okay, how do I make the changes maybe that the other side have talked about me needing or affirming, you know, that I know I need.
Great. Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah, and I will welcome everyone. I know we say it in the write-up of the podcast that if you have questions after the fact, do not hesitate to reach out. And if you do think, okay, maybe life coaching would be something to help me, book a discovery call. They are free. We're just going to sit down and talk about what it is that you're maybe hoping to get out of it, so that I can figure out, am I even the right person for you, right? I'm not the solve for everyone out there who wants to make changes in their lives. But if I can point you toward the right person, I'm going to be excited to do that.
So Kelly, the discovery call is about how long?
It's about 15 minutes.
And in a discovery call, they're not going to get their first session with you.
No.
It is done to figure out if the two of you are a good match for each other and if that person is really willing to do the work, right?
Well, yes and no. Let's kind of break down what you're saying there. Discovery just simply meaning we are discovering if coaching is the next right step. It's not necessarily about you and I being a good match in terms of people, personality. It's a good match of, are your goals something I'm equipped to help you get toward?
Exactly.
Right? Is what you want out of coaching something that I can actually help you achieve? And like I said, if I'm not that right person for you, I will point you to the right professional.
And I want to kind of interject in that if you see that you're not the right person, then sometimes I've heard you say, I referred them to therapy.
Absolutely.
Good.
Yes. We're gonna get the right people in your corner so that you can be supported no matter what.
Wonderful.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlos. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.